Good evening. I am Susan Link, and I want to thank you for being here. We all appreciate your presence at an Ignite service. And before I start to share with you, I would just ask if I could pray with you. Lord Jesus, I feel that you have given me these words to speak tonight, and I thank you for that. And so I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Thank you. You might be expecting to hear my testimony tonight, and I get that, but this is not exactly going to be a typical testimony. I will tell you that I'm the oldest of seven children, born to my parents back in 1949, so yes, that makes me 70 years old next month. My mother died of her third heart attack in 1983 when I was only 34. So I ended up sort of mothering my siblings. I didn't do a very good job of it, though. I'm a graduate of Big Walnut High School. I have a bachelor's degree from Otterbein University, and I have a Master of Education degree from The Ohio State University. I married my husband, Michael, nearly 50 years ago, and we've already begun celebrating our 50th anniversary, and we plan to string that out for a while because it feels like a really big deal to both of us. I had a 30-year career in telephone communications and marketing, followed by a second career that I loved, which was teaching for 12 years in elementary and middle school. Michael and I were not blessed with children of our own, but we have two wonderful godsons whom we love as our own, and many nieces and nephews, not to mention lots of other young people in our lives. So we truly are blessed. I have been a member of the United Methodist Church since I was in high school, and I have been a member of this congregation for 20 years. Many of you know me well. Many of you know me somewhat. And probably some of you don't know me at all. I am the lay leader of this church, and that's a role I have held for several years. In fact, I think I'm on the 15th year of my 3-year term. As the lay leader, I am fairly involved in the inner workings of the church. I attend weekly church staff meetings. I sit on the finance committee, so I understand a lot of what's going on there. I'm a part of the pastor parish relations committee, so I get involved in personnel matters. I'm a member of the administrative board, so I'm pretty involved in the day-to-day and month-to-month activities and issues that go on in a church of this size. I'm a member of one of the intercessory prayer teams that pray over prayer requests and praises each week. And I also lead first worship service on most Sundays. I sing in the choir, and along with my husband, Michael, I serve in the Blue Room Nursery during the Sunday school hour. And then I also get involved in other areas of the church as opportunities arise. And I say all of this not for you to say, wow, that's a lot. Because believe me, there are many people in this church who do way more than I'm doing. But the truth is, I love being involved in the church. And I'm hoping that something I say tonight might inspire even one person to get involved or a little more involved as well. Because you see, I believe that the body of Christ, and that's exactly what we are, must be involved in the workings of the church if the church is to grow and reach out in our community and expand its ministries to the least and the lost. That is what we do here. I know many of you know what our mission statement is, but I think it bears repeating. As a body of believers, we will glorify God by calling others to Christ, nurturing all persons, growing in faith, and serving in love. Will you read that with me? As a body of believers, we will glorify God by calling others to Christ, nurturing all persons, growing in faith, and serving in love. And you might have noticed my shirt tonight. It says, "Go serve love." Again, that is what we do here. This is one of the shirts that were sold to help with the Honduras mission trip finances for later this summer. And I bought this one because I really think it sums up what we do here at Fredericktown United Methodist Church. But I want you to know this. I haven't always served in the church. I was once just a member. To quote a former pastor from a former church, I was just a pew warmer. That's a person who shows up when it's convenient, but pretty much just sits there and doesn't get involved. That's fine if you're not a member of the church. But if you really want a part in worshiping God and in serving God and being a real part of the church, I think you have to get involved. I didn't get fully involved until I went on an Emmaus walk in 1986. Emmaus is a very intense weekend. It's a retreat that focuses on God's grace. I had several takeaways from Emmaus, but the single biggest one was that we were to serve God in our local churches. We were urged to get involved in whatever ministries made sense for us as individuals, and I really took that to heart. I got involved in the church that we attended in Columbus, and when we moved to Fredericktown in 1998, I got involved here. I have been truly blessed ever since. Not without tragedies and trials, but truly blessed. So here I am tonight, hoping to share with you some of the scriptures and concepts that speak to me as I walk throughout this life. I have selected some inspirational thoughts from posts I have encountered on, of all places, the internet. Primarily Facebook. And so if you look at this slide, it's kind of funny because my first slide actually encourages people to talk to each other rather than texting or emailing. And I selected that one because it spoke to me in such a big way. I really regret seeing people sitting at the same table texting each other. And I really regret seeing people in the same car texting each other. And I really don't like seeing people in the same pew texting each other. So I'm hoping tonight to encourage you to think more about communicating face to face as much as possible. Now, I'll be the first one to say I know we all have to text and communicate by email for convenience and time, but I'm just urging you also to take advantage of face-to-face opportunities as well. And by the way, while we're talking about texting and email, a shout out to Brian up in the tech booth. If Brian hadn't answered my texts and my emails, and if Brian hadn't helped me use Facebook, the screens that I wanted to put this together, this presentation would not really have come together. So, Brian, thank you so much.
But we had three face-to-face meetings too.
We did. All right. We did it all. Well, let's start out by acknowledging that not everyone is comfortable with talking to one another or with volunteering to serve in a ministry. But let's face it, God doesn't call us to do something that is in our comfort zone. That's not always what he does. Sometimes he wants us to come out of our comfort zone. 2 Timothy 1:7 reminds us that the Spirit of God, though, does not make us timid, but gives us power. Me standing up here talking to you in a talk like this is not in my comfort zone. So I'm hoping to embrace some of God's power to help me as I share with you. From my perspective, the next slide is right on. It covers everything. Bad days, good days, great days. Every day, our God is there for us. We just don't always see it, do we? James 1:5 reminds us to ask God for wisdom or whatever we want. Jeremiah 29:11 assures us that God has a plan for us, and it is not to harm us, but it's to prosper us. That's a great verse to hold on to when you don't understand what in the world is going on during a bad day. And 1 John 5:14 reminds us again, if we need something, and if it's in God's will, we still have to ask him for it. Truly, I thank God for always being here for me, good, bad, or indifferent. He never leaves me. And he doesn't leave you either. Well, if God doesn't ever leave us, and all we have to do is let him know what we want or need, then how is it that some days I end up in a mess? Well, there is a very real enemy who would seek to steal our joy on every turn. But take heart. If the enemy is attacking us, it's because there's a threat to the enemy. And the enemy doesn't want us to be content in God. And he sure doesn't want us out proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make no mistake, the enemy is very real. Ephesians 6:11 and 12 tells us to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That is one powerful enemy. And we need to put on our protective armor every day. By the way, the very best armor is prayer. Everything we do should be undergirded with prayer. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 2:11 reminds us that Satan has the power to outwit us if we let our guard down. We must always be on the offensive. The enemy knows we are valuable and we have purpose, and it's our job to live like we believe that. So then how do we go about our daily lives? Well, I have to say, I've probably been on a diet my whole life. This slide spoke to me because it reminds us that our diet is way more than just food. It is everything we take into our bodies and our minds, who we hang out with, what we do with our free time. Our diet has to do with our body, our spirits, our emotions, and our physical being. Plenty of scripture supports that. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 goes so far as to call our bodies temples. Sometimes I surely don't take care of my body like it's a temple, but I should. Romans 12:1 and 2 tells us that we should offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, and urges us to not conform to the pattern of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I am not perfect in any of this, but I can tell you, my day is so much better and my thoughts so much more positive and uplifting when I start with quiet time praying and reading God's word and meditating on the things I know would be pleasing to him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us that whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we should do it all for the glory of God. God is not glorified when we overindulge in anything. I am sure of that. This goes beyond food or drink. I was recently convicted about a habit I had. It's a seemingly innocent habit, but it became an obsession. Anyone here play games on your tablet, your phone, or your iPad? You don't have to raise your hands. I was playing Words with Friends to the point of making it way too important and spending too much time on it. Like I say, I was convicted and I'm doing way better, but it's only because I limit my time on Words with Friends. And I can tell you, I feel better about me as a result. Philippians 4:8 is one of my favorite Bible verses. It tells us to accent the positive. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. When I'm tempted to think about things that are not positive or not good or not right or not uplifting, I try to go back to this verse and remind myself of what I ought to be putting into my temple. When we live our lives like that, we most definitely defeat the enemy. I came across the Psalm 23 slide on Facebook, and I thought it was something that we should hold on to. Just look at how much is packed into this psalm that many of us memorized some time ago. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not be in want. That's supply. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Rest. He leads me beside quiet waters. Refreshment. He restores my soul. Healing. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Guidance. For his name's sake. Purpose. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, testing, I will fear no evil. Protection. For you are with me, faithfulness. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Discipline. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hope. You anoint my head with oil. Consecration. My cup overflows. Abundance. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Blessing. I love this psalm. It's all about the relationship God wants to have with us. We don't have to worry because God will supply everything we need, including rest and refreshment and healing and guidance and purpose. It isn't to say that everything will be all rosy because there will be testing. But he is always there protecting us because God is faithful. When we need correction, he disciplines us in love, and he gives us hope against our enemy while at the same time anointing us, consecrating us for service, providing for us abundantly with goodness, mercy, and love. Now, if that isn't a blessed life, I don't know what is. So here's my bottom line. I try, with emphasis on try, to live my life like this. When I die, I don't want flowers. I don't want tears. I certainly don't want people flying to come and say goodbye. If you love me that much, what are you waiting for? Send me flowers now. Come see me now. Please don't wait till I'm gone. Love me today. I want to be that person who lets people know they are loved and valued today. I want to be that person who shares the good news of Jesus Christ with others through acts of mercy and kindness and caring. I want to be that person who lives life without having to deal with, I wish I could have, I wish I would have, gee, I probably should have. I want to help others when I can. Visit others now while they are alive. Love on others now. Comfort others today. Serve others in whatever ways I am led to do. Now, I also want to be that person who's loved on now. Don't get me wrong. But the ultimate servant, Jesus Christ, reminds us in Mark 10:45 that he came not to be served, but to serve. If Jesus Christ came to serve, shouldn't we? When I became a member of the United Methodist Church, I took a vow to share my time, my talent, and my treasure with the church. That vow is really a pretty big deal when you think about it. I'm trying to keep that vow and to fulfill my purpose as led by the Holy Spirit. And yes, there are times when I get tired, don't we all? But I'm reminded in Hebrews 6:10 that God doesn't forget all we do for the kingdom. Now, that's not why we do it, but take heart and know that God knows what you're doing. It's really pretty simple when you get down to it. Galatians 5:13 tells us to serve one another in love. 1 Peter 4, 8-10 tells us to love one another deeply and use whatever gifts we've been given to serve others. John 15:12 says we should love each other as God has loved us. Another tall order, but a worthy one. And finally, 1 Corinthians 13:13 tells us that these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So let me wrap this up by saying my trip through inspirational slides from some of my Facebook friends inspired me to think about my day-to-day life and to step up my game. And I hope it inspires someone here to consider doing that. Our church mission statement is right on target. As a body of believers, that's all of us, isn't it? We will glorify God by calling others to Christ. That's a mission for anyone who wants to further the kingdom. Nurturing all persons, age doesn't matter, from the nursery to the nursing home. Growing in faith, the more we study God's word and seek to live accordingly, the better off we all are. And here's the big one for me, serving in love. As your lay leader and your sister in Christ, I ask you to consider stepping up your game, if that is warranted. There's always something more to be done. Calvary always needs a Sunday school teacher. Emily always needs someone in the nursery. Mike Brake always needs someone in youth and adult ministries. The choir always needs somebody else to sing. There's always something more to be done. And all we need to do is find a way that we can do that more to serve in love. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not sure about where you stand with Jesus Christ, but you feel like you would like to know him better, then there's no better time than this for you to step outside of your comfort zone and just come right on up here to the altar or stay in your seat and pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart, because you want to be part of his kingdom and you want to learn how to serve him. We stand ready to show you how to make that happen. Thanks for letting me share with you, and thanks for being a part of the ministries of this church. We are all in this together, and I, for one, am richly blessed because of all who share their time and their treasure and their talents. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. When we do that, we're living according to God's will and serving in love. And the greatest of these is indeed love. Amen.